The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome from the Grace Evangelical Society. Do all people have the ability to believe in the salvation message, or is this an ability that only some people have? That's the question Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins will tackle today on this Q&A version of Grace in Focus. We have lots of resources on our website, faithalone.org, and I'll tell you more about that at the end of the program today. Now, here's Bob Wilkin with Steve Elkins.
I believe you have a question from someone named Greg.
That's right. Greg writes that in a blog written by Thane Hodges in September 93, now, we don't know about any blog that was posted anyway,
right,
or even any blogs, period.
Probably an article.
Yeah, maybe so. It's entitled The Role of Man's Conversion, and he wants to ask, Mr. Hodges states that man has the capacity to believe, and then he goes on to say that no man is converted outside of a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to know, are all, quote, natural men, that is, unregenerate men, able to believe in some way, or is the ability to believe only given to some? From reading the blog, it seems that all men are able to believe and that as they do so, God reveals to them the truth of Christ, which then results in conversion. Belief, that is our responsibility prior to salvation, and salvation, that is conversion, as he puts it, is the result. It almost sounds, Bob, like he's saying you've got to believe and then that puts you in position to believe the gospel, something like that almost.
Yeah. I think the confusion comes because many people have been influenced by Calvinism. And Calvinism basically says that the unregenerate are like a cadaver at the bottom of a well. You can throw them a rope, you can yell at them to grab the rope, but they're dead, they can't respond. And they think that a verse like 1 Corinthians 2:14, which says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him, they think that verse means that the natural man has no ability whatsoever to receive anything from God. Mm-hmm. And what I would suggest that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, what Paul is talking about is the natural man is not welcoming. The receiving mm-hmm. there refers to the idea of welcoming, that a favorable response toward. And it centers in specifically on the saving message. And the point there would be that that's not the inclination of the natural man. It's not that the natural man has an inability to believe God's word. Obviously, unbelievers believe God exists. Millions upon millions of unbelievers believe God exists. They believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They believe lots of things taught in the Bible. Even believing that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, mm-hmm. or believing that Jesus rose bodily from the dead on the third day. They'll believe all these things. But the real struggling point for people, and that's where a person moves from death into life, is when they believe in Jesus for that life, when they believe in Jesus for everlasting life. Like 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says that he's an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And there's lots and lots of scripture that indicate that the unbeliever is capable of believing, that the unregenerate are capable of believing.
Yeah, and Bob, I think in that passage as well, it's clear Paul's talking about the gospel because he goes on to say, we have received not the spirit of the world, or that comes from the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know what? The things freely given to us by God.
Right.
So what you're saying is the natural man has to have the spirit to perceive spiritual things or things of the word, but in particular the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Paul says no one says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And I remember talking to Zane about that one time because I said, but there's lots of unbelievers who recognize the lordship of Jesus and confess him. Mm-hmm. Work salvation people, lordship salvation people, all kinds of people. And he said, of course. And he said, but that's a work of the Spirit of God in their lives.
Right.
It's a mistake to think that the Spirit of God is not working in the lives of people all over the planet.
Yeah, he told me one time many years ago when I was in seminary that any truth that we come to understand is by the Holy Spirit. That's what he felt.
Sure, that makes sense. And Paul says that Satan is blinding the eyes of people today. But you made a good point about how God overcomes that blinding.
Right. Well, in a few episodes ago, I mentioned about a 40-hour conversation during just a 2-week period when I was fresh out of seminary. I'd been using the word trust, and obviously the word trust opposed to believe could imply a volitional element. And Zane wasn't happy with that. And he was trying to convince me that there's not a volitional element in believing something. He believed that faith was essentially a passive response to the truth. And once you're persuaded of something or convicted or have confidence in something, that's when you believed it. And it's not a second step kind of thing that you choose to believe it. And so one of the main passages that he used with me was John chapter 1, verse 13. In 1:11 it says, "And Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, that is, to those who believe in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God." And then it says, "who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or of the will of the flesh, but of God," that is, of God's will. And that ties in perfectly with James 1:18. "Of his own will," it's the Father's will, "he brought us forth." Now, on the other hand, God wills. He wants everyone to be saved. It's not his will that any perish. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants that.
Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:4 says that. And in John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40, the Lord says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." That's eternal security. And then verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And right. So the point is, the Father wants people to come to the Son. And of course, if we're willing, Acts 16:14 says God opened Lydia's heart that she might heed the things spoken by God.
Right.
If we're willing, God will remove that blinding, the satanic blinding. And so we may believe a whole lot of right things about God and about Christ, but until we grasp the fact that he gives everlasting life to the believer, or the equivalent, you know, like part of his forever family, or that we're going to be justified forever, or we're guaranteed we'll be in his kingdom. Until we grasp the irrevocability of the salvation he gives, we've not had the blinders taken off.
Right.
Oh, I think a verse that we often talk about is Matthew 23, 37 to 39, where Jesus is talking. You mentioned that one.
He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stones the prophets and kills those who are sent to her, how I longed," it's the word thelo, "I willed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling, Othello."
Yeah, that's good. The issue there is, if the nation had been willing, and Jerusalem there stands for the whole country, if the nation had been willing, the kingdom would have come in the first century.
Yeah.
But they weren't. And another verse that I like to use is John 5, 39 and 40, where Jesus is talking to legalistic Jews, and he says, "You search the scriptures," the Old Testament, "for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life."
Right.
If they had been willing to come to Jesus, they would have seen in the Old Testament that Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah. In fact, Abraham even says that after he dies, Abraham in Luke 16:31 tells the rich man that his brothers should be persuaded by the writings of Moses and the prophets, and that persuasion does not require that they see some miracle.
Yeah.
What it requires is them believing what the law and the prophets wrote.
Right. And it would sure be nice if they were willing to believe it, but they're not willing to believe. And the veil or the blinding that you mentioned, like in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are unbelieving." The fact is, any satanic blindness or hardening comes along with, it's coordinated with, if you will, our own choosing to be blinded or hardened.
Exactly. And we see the same thing in Acts 13.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Acts 13, you've got Paul speaking in Antioch to a group of people in a synagogue, mostly Jews, but there are Gentiles present too. And the Jews reject what he's saying. And he says in Acts 13, verse 46, "You judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life."
Right.
The issue is not that God was unwilling to give them everlasting life. They were unwilling to take it.
Absolutely. In many of the synoptic passages, Jesus says this. The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in you when he said, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." Listen to this. "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed." Not Satan. They have closed their own eyes. lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. There's a repentance involved, especially for the nation Israel
sure.
and the kingdom, so that I should heal them. But obviously we have a free will and we can choose not to seek the Lord.
That's exactly right. And that's what you unfortunately saw with Israel. Now, of course, there were Jews who were born again right. in the ministry of Jesus. There were about 500. Remember 1 Corinthians 15?
Right.
Paul said Jesus appeared to 500 at once.
Yeah.
Well, those 500 are some of those, many of those whom Jesus had led to faith in Christ. We're not sure how many total he led to faith in himself, right. but at least 500. And those people were ones who were willing.
Yeah. And Bob, I know we both agree that anyone who will seek the Lord, they'll find him. The Lord will bring him the gospel, even if supernaturally through like telling Peter through an angel to go visit Cornelius or taking right. the Ethiopian Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. He'll do that. Real quickly, Bob,
yes.
could I say one thing? Philosophically, it's also true that you can't choose to believe, as if you could even choose to believe anything, but choose to believe at any given moment what you know isn't true. If I were
right.
to pay you $1 million right now to believe there's a pink elephant on this table, could you do it?
No, because it's contrary to fact.
Yeah, it's impossible. However, that's called doxastic voluntarism. It's impossible to believe what you know isn't true. Indirect doxastic voluntarism is true, and that's the teaching that if you choose to study the evidence and so forth with an open mind, then it puts you in a posture to be more able to believe or wanting to believe the material.
But but you're still not going to believe in a pink unicorn or a pink elephant. But what you are going to believe is that which is true.
That's right. And if a person seeks the Lord will bring him the gospel. But the moment of coming to faith, I know we both believe, is a divine illumination, an act of God.
It's called that in the book of Hebrews and also 2 Corinthians 4. You know, God, who made the light shine in the creation, also makes the light shine in our hearts.
Right. So anyone can come to the Lord if they will. Whosoever will may come and believe in the Lord for the free gift.
I hope that helps, Greg, and we'll continue to answer questions the next few days and keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, is there a possibility that we will see our pets again after this life? Interesting question. I hope you'll join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.